for singing.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. It's then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? Answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Trust in me and I'll give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? That to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever think about that? Who am I that he would die for? Amen. What a blessed thought that is. What a challenging thought that is. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 15. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 15. And as you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read from the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Lord, I ask for your help, Lord, with the message today. Lord, would you please use me, Lord? I surrender to you. I ask to be filled with your power. Lord, help every listener to be Holy Spirit filled as well with listening ears, Lord, to speak to them. And Lord, change hearts and lives today. Lord, save the soul that's nearest hell today. Help and encourage those that need that. We ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. As you're seated, just a reminder, if you would take your phone and turn it off, silent, vibrate, whatever you have to do, toss it out the door if you have to, and that would be a help today. In Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look at this verse here. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Last week started preaching a series of messages about stewarding your life as we start this year, about being good stewards of the life that God has given to you. The Bible says you're bought with a price. Amen? You're bought with a price. I'm thankful for it. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, by the way. Right? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm a child of God. Aren't you thankful for that fact today? The life that God has given to me, I get the opportunity to now give my life back to God. Not to stay saved. You don't have to earn salvation to get it. You don't have to earn it to keep it. God has given you eternal life. But now as a child of God, I get to live for God. For the rest of my life, I get to live a life that is trying to please God. Not that I'm perfect at it, and neither are you. But we get a chance to live our life. The life that God has given, that God has given to me, I get to give that same life back to God. Talked last week about stewarding your heart. Stewarding your heart. To be a steward is one that's been entrusted by the owner to manage his affairs in his place. That I'm a manager of the life that God has given to me. God doesn't require it back, but he asks for it back. Amen? God doesn't force anyone to get saved. God doesn't force anyone to do his will. But guess what? It is so much better than do God's will than to do my will. I'm a steward of the life that God is. I'm a manager of the life. And so you're either a good steward or a bad steward of the life that God has given to you. And God is the judge of the managing that you are doing with the life that God has given to you. Again, a steward requires ownership. It shows ownership that God owns the life that God has given to me, and I'm thankful for that. But number two, it shows responsibility. Responsibility, that you're responsible and that you are accountable to God. You know, that God checks in and says, "How are you doing with what I've given to you?" Just as in that parable that the master that left the talents with his servants, and he gave 10 to one and 5 to another and 1 to the last. And he went away, and when he came back, he wanted to see how they did with the talents that he had given to them. The first two had doubled them, and he said, "Well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. Well done." And don't you think that the master looks down, and when he sees you doing something with the life that he's given to you, he says, "Well done." Don't you want to hear that someday? Think about that day you enter heaven. Do you want to think, do you want to hear, "Well done," or do you want to think, "You barely made it"? You made it, yet so as by fire. But then that last one, he says, "You are unprofitable servant," and he cast him out. God is looking for a good steward, a manager of what God has given to you. Last week I preached about stewarding your heart. The most important thing you can do is to deal with your heart. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Your heart. Christian, is your heart right with God today? Are things right between you and God, or is there something in the way between you and God? Maybe you'd say, "I'm not even a Christian, I'm not a child of God, and I don't know that I'm saved." Well, then your heart's not right with God today, because you're not forgiven. See, there's no perfect person in this room. Saved or lost, there's not a single perfect person here. But you're either saved, you're forgiven, or you're unforgiven. Amen? You're either forgiven and you're saved and your sins are washed away, or you're unforgiven and you're lost and on your way to hell. Is your heart clean? Is your heart right with God? Is it surrendered to the Lord? Today I want to preach to you a message about stewarding your time. Stewarding your time. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, to redeem is to buy back or to make the most of. You ever get that gift card that someone gave to you and you go to redeem it? We went out the other night and I had a gift card that someone had given me quite a while ago. Don't you love it when you're surprised when you find money or a gift card or something? You went, oh, this is great. And I went to pay for the meal and she took it away and she said, sorry, they said the card is declined. Now, it was a gift card. It wasn't my own. And I looked at it and said, you need to activate it on the front. And I went, I'm sorry. I gave him my card. I'll deal with it later. Not a big deal. So I couldn't redeem it. It didn't do me any good at the moment because I had not activated the card to redeem or to buy back. See, again, God has given you your life. Amen? God has given you your life. God has given you the gift of salvation, and God wants you to give that back to Him. It's a choice. God doesn't force anyone to live for Him, but it's so much better to live for Him. To redeem the time. The Bible says, because the days are evil. You understand this. Everyone has the same 24 hours in a day. Right? Some days seem longer than 24 hours. Lord, help the day to end because I want to start afresh a new day. And some days it seems like they fly by. And all of a sudden you go, where'd the day go? And all of a sudden it seemed it just passed. Redeeming the time. You know, time is something you can't stop. We live in a day and age where you can pause and record and go back and watch again, but you can't pause real time. You can't pause your life. You can't pause a moment in your life. The time just keeps ticking along. Everyone gets the same 24 hours in a day, the same 7 days in a week, and the same 365 days in a year, except if you get that tricky leap year that likes to add another one in there. Thank the Lord for the extra one there. To redeem, to buy back. See, a wasted year, you don't get back. A wasted day, you don't get back. A wasted hour is gone, and you can't get that back anymore. I want to encourage you to turn over to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 and verse number 13. After the book of Hebrews, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James chapter 4 and verse number 13. God has given you time. It's called life. God's given you life. Don't take it for granted. Don't take the life that God has given for you today for granted. The Bible says in James 4:13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God gives the example of this person that says, we're going to go into a city and we're going to stay there a year. We'll buy and sell, and they're boasting of the things that they're going to do without the Lord's help. Have you ever heard someone say, Lord willing, we'll have lunch today, right? Lord willing, we'll go on the trip. Lord willing, if the Lord allows. Why? Because I'm not in control. We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed the rest of today or tomorrow. The Bible says life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. We were driving this morning. I was bringing Joel to the bus, and on the way here, and we leave the house, and it's nice and bright and sunny, but it was oh so cold out. And we get in the car, and it warmed up eventually, and we're driving here, and just blue skies, bright, the sun is out, and man, isn't it nice? And as we're driving here, and we come down Bonneville, and if you were driving around that time, you know this, it was bright and sunny, and then all of a sudden, about halfway down Bonneville, passing the cows on the left, coming down here, all of a sudden there was a wall of a cloud. It was the strangest thing. Sunny everywhere, but there was a cloud sitting right there in the middle. And as we drove to it, and we entered this cloud, and it was thick. And I slowed down, and I couldn't see very far ahead. And then all of a sudden, in a couple hundred yards or so, it was gone. And that was it. And then later on, it was gone, and it passed away. You know, that's how our life is. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. You know, when you're young, you think, oh, I've got so many years ahead of me. It goes quick, doesn't it? It goes quick. the life that God gives you, all of a sudden it seems like being a child or a teenager or a young adult, it passes by so quickly. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter your age. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day, another moment that God has given to you. Life appears in a moment and then it vanishes away. You know, the Bible says there's an appointed time for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. When's that day coming for you? Well, I don't know. When's the last day that you have on this earth? Do you want to waste the last moments that God has given to you in this life? Again, time is something that you cannot get back. It keeps ticking by. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 90, it says, "For the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. And then it goes on to say in verse number 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." What it's saying is this: God may give you 70 years of life, and if by reason, 80 years. That's how long of a lifespan God says you may expect to have. Some outlive that by quite a bit, and some God calls them home earlier. Either way, the Bible says this in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days." To number our days. Now, you don't literally need to etch it on the wall. Kids, you don't need to write it on the wall anywhere. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Why? Because God has given me today. I can't do anything about yesterday, and I really can't do anything for tomorrow, but God has given me today. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, maybe there's wasted years in the past. Well, then live for God today. Amen? I don't know about tomorrow, but I can live for God today. What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your time on? Think about that for a minute. You ever given a child, I'd say a dollar. I don't know that you can buy anything for a dollar anymore. You can't even buy anything for a dollar at the dollar store. It's a ripoff. It's false advertisement. I'm going to go there and say it's all a dollar. The sign says it up front. It should say dollars. All right? We'll change the name there. You ever give a kid a dollar and say, go in the store and buy whatever you want? You used to be able to do that. And that was a great parenting trick, wasn't it? You can go to the dollar store and buy any one item you want, because either way, I'm getting out of the store for a dollar plus tax, and it's going to be pretty good. Now you've got to avoid like the $15 section that is, again, false advertising, all right? You can spend it however you want. Isn't it interesting to see what they come back with? Oh, here's what I really want. You're like, that's what you want? Wouldn't you want something better? Okay, whatever it is. When my sister and I were young, my brother's a good bit younger than we are, so at some point, I don't remember exactly why, but my parents took us to the store when we were young and took us to Toys R Us. That's dating ourselves. I don't know if there's Toys R Us around anymore, but that was the greatest place as a child, right? The toy store, and that's all they had was just toys. And they took us there, and they said to us, Tracy and Mark, you can buy any one item that you want. Anything that you want. One thing, you can pick anything that you want. Now, for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, they had bikes and video game systems and whatever you could think of, every toy was there. And I remember we went there and my sister picked out, I think, some kind of a kitchen set. You know, the little girl kitchen set. And so she chose a pretty good item. And I remember it vaguely, not super clearly, but I was fairly young. And as we went to leave that day, I decided, of any item, I wanted a little action figure. Now, back in the day, it probably didn't cost more than $5, all right? It wasn't a whole lot, and I think my parents even said, they said, Mark, you could get anything that you want in the store, and they almost tried to upsell me and just whatever you want. I don't know why they didn't say, great, let's go before he changes his mind, And we left the store, and I got my little action figure. That's all I wanted, right? I know. I don't know if that was stupid or thrifty. I'm not sure which one it is, but that's all that I wanted. You think about it. God has given you something more valuable than money, time. He's given you life. How are you spending the life that God has given to you? What are you doing with the life that God gave to you? Many people are spending their life on a lot of things that really don't matter for eternity's sake. How do you spend your time? Being a good steward of your time. Number one, spend your time on the things of God. Spend the time and the life that God has given to you on the things of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and three thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Again, you have a choice. Am I going to spend my life on the things of this earth where the moth and the rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal? It's decay, and the world is in a place of decay. And you could spend your life on all the things of life, and may not even be evil things, but just wasteful things. Or you can lay up for yourselves treasures, the Bible says, in heaven. Here's the thing. You may say, well, I'm going to spend my life on the things that I see today. That's all going to burn up someday. It's going to be a waste, good for nothing. But you can lay up treasures in heaven. You may not always see those treasures and the reward, the dividend from them right now, but in heaven someday, how thankful will be that you lived your life for eternity and not for the things of this world. Are you living for eternity or are you living for this life? Again, God has given you life. Yes, you got to go to work and care for your home and your family and go to school and all the things you have to do. But are you living for God or are you living for self? Are you living for God or are you living for the things of this world? Spend your time on the things of God. Spend time with God every single day. You say, but I don't see a reward there with opening my Bible and praying and spending time with God and getting my life right with God. I guarantee you this. If you spend your time with God, you will see the rewards. The time that you set aside and you say, I'm going to block out 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, spending time alone with God, that's laying up treasures in heaven. I get to spend time with the God of this universe. That's not a waste. You're not throwing away your time. Read your Bible. Spend time with God. Go to church. Amen? Go into church. I don't understand not going to church when the doors are open. I don't understand it. I don't get it. People may look at you in the world and thinking, why are you wasting your time on a Sunday morning going to church? Why are you wasting your time going to church on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night? Don't you have anything better to do? And the lost people may look at you and they literally scratch their head and going, what are you doing spending your time in church? I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Amen? I'm laying up, you think, but there's so many other things you could do, but this is the best thing to do. Amen? I get to go to the house of God. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is a great way to spend your time in the house of God. Amen? Spend your time with God and church and the Bible. Spend your time telling people about Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. Spend your time telling them about the Lord. Tell them about the God that died on the cross to save their soul. Hey, as a Christian, what better thing can you talk to someone about than their soul and about eternity? Amen? Again, this life is so short. We spend so much of our effort in this life that's a vapor that's going to pass away in moments, it could be. But what about eternity, Christian? What about heaven? What about God and the things of the Bible? Spend your time on the things of God. Live for God today. Live for God. Christian, live for, young person, live for God today. The world's going to tell you it's a waste of time. But you don't realize that living for the world is really a waste of time. That's a good way to waste away your life for nothing. Live for God today. Look for God today. Look for Him today. Jesus Christ could be coming today. It could be any moment that Jesus Christ would return. Spend your time on the things of God. Number two, protect your time from foolish and sinful behavior. Again, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. I think of Solomon in the Bible. Solomon, as he was becoming king, and God said, ask what I should give to you. I'll give you anything. And Solomon thought about it and prayed about it, and he said, God, I need wisdom to rule your people. I can't rule them. He said, I'm like a child. I need your help, God. You know, that's a great place to be in your life, to say, God, I need your help. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do. God, I need you. And Solomon said, Lord, I need wisdom. And God blessed Solomon with wisdom and riches and power and all the things on top of that. Unfortunately, later on in Solomon's life, that Solomon got away from God, didn't he? He had 1,000 wives and concubines combined, followed after false gods, started going away from the things of God and trusting in riches. And what happened in the book of Ecclesiastes? Solomon said this. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He had turned his attention from the things of God to the things of this world, and it was empty. If you've ever lived for the world, you realize it's empty. It's empty. What the world says is a good time is a whole lot of emptiness and a whole lot of sorrow and a whole lot of destruction. You listen to this world, you're going to have an empty and a sorrowful life, full of a bunch of scars. If you live for the things of this world, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But if you live for God, the rewards in this life, the blessings of God in this life, and for all eternity, that's worth it, isn't it? Protect your time from foolish and sinful behavior. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world is constantly trying to get your attention and your affection, isn't it? People will pay millions and billions of dollars to get your attention and to get your money and to get you to follow after their brands or their product, whatever it may be. You know, God doesn't bribe you with that, but the blessings of God are so much better than the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. Look around you today. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your time? Statistics say that Americans spend, on average, 7 to 8 hours per day on electronics for entertainment purposes. Think about that. How many hours in a day? Well, there's 24. You spend 7 to 8 hours a day on electronics, wasting away your life. Can I say it again? Wasting away your life on things that do not matter. A third of your day spent as a drone following whatever the internet tells you to look at or to watch or listen. Wasting away on foolish and sinful things. How much better could that time be used for the things of God than for the things of this world? Right? Put it aside, lose the phone, and then someday try to find it again and ask your child where they took it to. Protect your time from foolish and sinful behavior. And then lastly today, pray for wisdom and direction for your life. Pray for wisdom and direction for your life. Why? Because I don't want to go off course. You know, if you go and live your life for yourself or for this world for a few years, you don't get that time back. You don't get those young years where you went to sow your wild oats and to go and have some fun, the world says, just to live for yourself. You don't get that time back. Young people, pray that God would give you wisdom not to waste your life or your time. As a young person, that again, that's something you can't, as an even older person, all right, you may look at the young people. I didn't call anyone out, all right? You called yourself. You look at the young people and you say, give your life to God. Don't waste it on the things of this world. You will never regret living for God for a moment. What did Moses do when he was raised in Pharaoh's house? And he was taught all the things of the Egyptians and had the best home, the best education, and everything he could have imagined that the world had to offer. And what did Moses choose? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For how long? For a season. Not for a lifetime. See, in a way, Moses chose the harder route, didn't he? He went the harder route. He went to the wilderness because of sin. God prepared and brought him back to lead the children of Israel. And then they wandered around the wilderness for the rest of his life. You think you could have been in the palace. You could have had all the nice things and you could have had a position and title and all that. But he said, I'd rather live for God than for this world. Pray for wisdom and direction that God would guide your decisions and your life so you don't waste it on the things of this world. There's a missionary to China. His name is C.T. Studd, and he made a famous statement that said this, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's amazing how quick our lives will pass. It was just the anniversary for the missionaries down at the Aka Indians that these missionaries went down to try to win these cannibals to the Lord, and they were aviation pilots, and Jim Elliott is the famous name. If you've never read the book, Through Gates of Splendor, you must read it. And these five missionary men and their wives and their families, they went down to reach the Indians, and they were cannibals. And they went to go reach them, and they'd fly overhead, and they'd drop off gifts, trying to earn their favor and trying to tell them about God. And one day they left on a missionary journey, and they went to go and to tell them about Jesus, and they never came back. They were killed. They gave their life for God. One of those was Jim Elliott, and he made this statement. It was not original to him, but he said this, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The world may say it's a waste to go to a foreign land and to give your life and to leave behind your family. They never reached those men for Christ. The men didn't, but their wives stayed. And they reached those souls for Christ. People may look at your life and say it's a waste to give your life for God. Why give your time and your money and your effort for the things of God? Because it's much better than wasting your life on the things of this world. Haven't you learned that yet? This world will waste away your life on foolish or sinful things that will never matter for eternity. Is anything that you're doing today going to last for eternity? Hey, I hope we're not doing things for the applause of men, but for to be pleasing in God's sight. To want to live for God and to live in His will and to do right before the God of this universe, to steward your time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Maybe there's been a past that you've not lived for God. Well, make the most of this day forward to live for God. Maybe you've given away too many years to this world and not living for God. Well, starting today, live for God. Make the most of the time and the life that God has given to you moving forward, because we are not guaranteed another day. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, from the youngest in this room to the oldest. We don't know that we have tomorrow. Time is valuable. You can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. Are you living your life for the things of this world, or are you living for eternity? With head bowed and eyes closed, we'll begin the invitation time. How are you spending your life? The life that God has so graciously blessed and given to you, are you living and giving it back to Him? Most importantly, do you know Christ as your Savior? The best thing you can do with your time is to trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know that you are saved? If you're not saved, today is the day. This is the time. Not about works, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone that He died on the cross to pay for your sin. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him as your only way to heaven? If you don't know that today, would you slip your hand up so we could pray for you? Say, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that I'm saved. I'd like to have someone show me from the Word of God how I can know that I could have eternal life. Is there one in the room today that would say, I don't know I'm saved, but I would like to know that? I won't call you out, I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Anyone in the room today? Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation time, Lord, with the life and the time that you've given to us. Lord, may we humbly and thankfully give it back to you. With head bowed.